This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Playtest. It is episode 191. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Subscribe, all that stuff. But Sammy, do I give a jacked up opening?
Fire me up. Let's go.
Why would I do it though? Is there a reason for it? Like
maybe it's opening day tomorrow.
Do we bleep it? Like do we have permission to bleep in the first 5 minutes? Special occasion?
So. Yeah.
All right. Because this is the official Red Sox podcast at WEEI. And it's open to f***ing day!
Yeah!
Let's go! Subscribe! It's opening day! Oh my God, it's good to be here. We've been... How many podcasts do you think that we've recorded this offseason? Seriously, think.
Three a week for like 12... I mean, at least 40.
Several. Wait, how many months the off season? It is what? Okay,
November,
well, actually, let's back
December,
up. January. Count September too, because those were a grind too. September, October, November, December, January, February, March. So 7 months, 4 weeks. So 17, 21, 21 times three. I mean, basically 60 podcasts around there of just like, yeah, just trying to get to this point. So my God. I'm happy to be back. Go to the YouTube channel and the WEI YouTube channel. Subscribe there too. Rate all of our or thumbs up on all the videos. Follow the socials at Playtessie on Twitter, Instagram, and now TikTok as well. All of our videos going everywhere, and it's good stuff. We got so much content at spring training. But man, okay, this is the season preview extravaganza episode. This is maybe my favorite episode of the year to record. It drops on opening day. It's so exciting, and you've been thinking about the season for so long, and it's now finally time to put all of our predictions on paper. I mean, this is the best episode of the year. We are gonna touch on the Devers thing first, since Cora made it official on WEEI on the afternoon show that Devers is going to be the DH. Should we do that right now? Just quickly run through takes on that, Sammy. I think I want to give you the first word since this has been your agenda for, I want to say, the entirety of our time doing this podcast, you've been saying it, or did it start later?
No. I've been saying Devers to DH for kind of a while. And you know, I'll concede I was a little early to the party. I don't think his defense, it's not that big of a deal, but it just seemed like with him getting hurt more often and the defense not improving, like I was willing to give him a chance. He had over, 9,000 innings worth of play, 8,000, 9,000, a lot of innings of chances to improve, and he just didn't make that big leap that we were looking for. I would have been okay if they kept him at third base, but this with Bregman on the team, with Yoshida on the IL, I think this is the move. This is the right move. And come on, it's the Red Sox. If any team, if any fan base can appreciate a DH, it's Boston. You ever heard of Big Poppy, kid? So, yeah, I think it's the right move. I know people are upset about it, but whatever.
You know, I think people are not as upset about it as you think. And I think their strategy of delaying it to the last second to announce it has actually softened the blow for the people who didn't want it. Me included. I've not been a proponent of Devers to DH this year in particular. I think I would have been a proponent a year from now. That's why I was in favor of the Bregman signing, is you could put him at second base for a year and then push him to third, and then Devers can DH at that point when you can get rid of Masataka Yoshida. But now with Devers being the full-time DH, Yoshida's status is in flux. I know they say they're going to play him in left field. We'll see what happens when he comes back. I mean, they've got some time. They'll probably slow play it and then push it to the last second like they do everything. You know, they usually say it's better to be a year early than a year late on things like this. But to me, I would have been happy to wait a year. I don't think it's going to be the craziest difference maker in the world either which way. So do what you think is best. But we just got to hope that Rafi is healthier than years past. We got to hope that he's happy with, I mean, he's not going to be happy today, but we got to hope that he learns to accept it and be happy, hopefully, with a winning team. And we got to hope that he's able to stay engaged in the game from that position, because DH isn't built for everybody. We're going to learn. We're going to see where it goes. I think there's a chance that regardless of defense, third base or DH, that he has a slow April just because we barely saw him this spring. So I think there's going to be a lot of people that jump to really quick conclusions if he struggles in April that it's because he's DHing. It would be easy to push that as a narrative, especially for someone like me who thinks he should be playing third. But if he struggles in April, I'm not going to be saying it's because he's DHing. I'm going to say it's because he barely played in spring training. That's just me.
It also opens up second base for Christian Campbell. We got to mention that. So
it does. Would have been fine to play him left, but it does open second base for him.
Yeah, could have played him in left, but then you're moving Duran to center, which, you know, he could handle, but then you lose the defense of Rafaela and Yoshida in left, and it's a whole lot of things. So I don't think there was a wrong choice. I think any way they went, this is a talented ball club.
Let's get Pat's thoughts, then we'll get right to the predictions. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think I was right between you guys in the sense that Rafi was always going to be a DH around 30. I think it was probably either this past season or the year before where I was really like, it's time to move him. I think it maximizes the lineup, both defensively and offensively. You don't get Yoshida in there every day, but I'm pretty confident in Campbell at least being an above average bat. He's looked good at second in spring training so far. You feel for Masa, but at the same time, I mean, whatever. Rafi to DH, the infield defense is sound. The infield defense is going to be very good now. Rafi hopefully gets his health in check. He can make it through a full, you know, ideally 150 or so. I think it was a smart move. I think it maximizes the lineup offensively and defensively. And I would say it was overdue, but it was a move that, you know, I was okay with making about a year, year and a half ago.
I mean, the truth is, even for people like me who wouldn't have done it now, you weren't going to be able to avoid making that move. Like, next year probably would have been the latest scenario, just roster building wise. And if you're looking at just purely his defense, he was not going to be playable at third base by age 33. And that might even be pushing it. So it was going to happen eventually. It was not a matter of if, it was a matter of when. So, I mean, we're going to see how it goes. He hit 214, 552 OPS in only five spring training games. So just something to keep in mind. If he struggles, there's going to be a couple different things to look at it, to look at, you know, for reasons. Is it because he's not playing the field? Is it because he didn't play much in spring training? Is it because he's not happy because he got moved to DH and he's just not happy with the situation? I don't know. There's going to be a number of things to look at. I hope Rafi has a good April and we can just put this behind us, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, we got to get to the season predictions. So before we get to the season predictions, one thing we got to do, it's time for our final off-season grades. So the reason we do this now is because there's time before the season starts to get extensions done. So even though it didn't look like the Red Sox were going to add anything more in the offseason, like, you got to wait till the night before. Garrett Crochet not extended. I know that that's going to have an impact on, at least it had an impact on my grade. I'm sure it's going to have an impact on your grade. Start with Sammy. Sammy, you'll go first on this one. Off-season grade, your final grade.
So I'm going to go B+. I think the biggest thing overall was adding Garrett Crochet. That's a legitimate, I'll go as far as to call him a Cy Young contender. He's awesome, friend of the program, but he didn't get extended. That is a big issue. I hope that out of nowhere, we get one of those notifications where we all flip out. Garrett Crochet extended 27 years, $1 billion, whatever it is. Got to get that done. Otherwise, it makes no sense to have traded for him in the first place. We've gone over this before. Secondly, Alex Bregman, awesome. Winning player, the bat you needed, good glove, good leadership, awesome, awesome, awesome. But the deal's a little bit wonky. He could be gone in a year. We really don't know. Still, great addition. And then the bullpen, I think they kind of could have done a little bit better, even if we're just, you know, like David Robertson, just add another arm to the pen. I like the depth of the bullpen, but again, there's not much in that ninth inning that I'm feeling really great about. Currently, as we speak, Chapman's set to be the closer. That's so-so, in my opinion. We're going to talk more about this. No spoilers later. But yeah, I think all those things in consideration, B+, they're set up to compete in 2025. Who knows what they're going to look like after that, but I'm feeling good about this season. So B+.
B+ for Sammy. Pat, what do you got for a grade?
I'm going B. I think if they had added another late inning reliever, whether it be Robertson or whether they swooped in and got Canely, like one of those guys who fit that mold, I think that's the one piece that's missing in the bullpen. The closer will figure itself out. I'm not really worried about it. Out of the gates, it might not be the prettiest thing in the world, but someone's going to fall into that role. If they had done that, brings me to a B+, and I cannot get into A- territory without a Crochet extension. If they had extended Crochet, we're talking A, the relievers an A+. But I am fairly confident that they will get a Crochet extension done before he hits free agency. But as things stand right now, that's up in the air. He's not under contract beyond 2026, and that is horrifying. So I'm capping it out as a B. I think everyone will unanimously agree. Bregman was a monster get. Crochet, even if it is just for this year and next, monster get. Big fan of the Chapman signing. And then you, Walker Buehler, which Sammy didn't even mention. That's a huge get if he's even remotely healthy. Yeah, I'm happy with what they did. Could have done a little bit more outside the organization in terms of reliever, and they absolutely could have extended Crochet. So B.
You know, I'm surprised that neither of you guys got into the A- or even A territory. I thought I was going to be low on this, and I'm going to be giving them a B for it. Because obviously, yeah, like you guys said, I love what they did with the rotation, Crochet and Buehler. Love the Bregman ad. But the back of the bullpen is, you know, that might be, we'll get into biggest weaknesses, but that's certainly a candidate to be that for a number of our answers. To me, it would have been an A- with a Crochet extension. I just can't bear the possibility that they could trade the package that they traded for just 2 years of a guy who talked many times, including with us, about how he would love to be in Boston long term, and he's open to signing an extension and all that. Until that's done, I can't commend it that much, just because if he leaves, then in the end it would be actually a failure unless the Red Sox won the World Series in these first 2 years. So it'll be a B for me in that regard. Let's smooth transition. I'm sure this is going to be the same answer for all of us. We can be quick with it. Team Cy Young. Pat, you go first for this one. Who's your team Cy Young?
Richard Fitzler. No, it's Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
It's Garrett Crochet pretty comfortably.
Sammy?
Crochet.
Yeah, mine's Garrett Crochet, and it's no slight to any other pitcher on this team, but you see that guy? I think he set the highest strikeout rate, minimum 50 innings. No, that's not right. Minimum something innings in spring training in the last like decade. He was just
freakish. I mean, that's why we were all just going nuts over this guy. I actually, today, as we record, the eve of opening day, I was looking at all my tweets about Garrett Crochet. I look like a stalker, psychopath y'all stalker. Do. The amount of Garrett Crochet tweets, I hope he never sees those.
Well, before we talked to him, he's like, oh yeah, play Tessia. I know you guys. And I was like, oh, I wonder how many of our clips that he's seen where we're just like, trade for Crochet, extend Crochet. For the love of God, please.
He's like, oh, you guys know I'm married, right? He's stay away from me. Freaking weirdos.
All right. Next up, Sam, you'll go first for this one. Team MVP.
Team MVP. Okay. I don't know if this qualifies as a hot take. And it's kind of funny what I'm choosing after what I just said, but I'm picking Garrett Crochet again. I think having a legit ace makes all the difference in the world. You know, it's a little weird to pick a pitcher as MVP, but come on, man. I mean, when was the last time the Red Sox added a player like that that transformed the team in such a big way? I think he's the most important. I don't care that he's a pitcher. He's my team MVP. And if that's controversial, sue me. Here comes
It's not really controversial because I agree with you, Sammy. I think he's my MVP too. Like, I think he's that going to be that dominant.
Freaking Joe. Taking Crochet too, so at least half of us are taking Crochet. Pat, you give yours. You give yours, Pat, and then I'll go.
I'm going Bregman. I think the defense is going to be a big difference, even though on paper we say it's third base, it's better than Raffy, whatever. I think it's going to go a long ways. And on top of that, I think he's going to absolutely murder the monster. I think he's going to rake at Fenway. I could very easily see him in that 280, 300 range, 25, 30 home runs. I think he's going to be a menace, and I think the championship pedigree is going to show out, and I'm going Bregman.
Did you get inspired by our John Anik podcast? Because I was listening back to that, and when he was talking about Bregman's like cut from that championship cloth, I'm like, yeah, baby, fire me up.
I don't know. I've been on the Bregman train for a bit. And then I think just that difference, that's such a huge, huge addition. And his swing profile fits so well into Fenway. And he's already a leader. He's hanging out with Marcelo, Roman, Christian. I think
that's the key. I think it's
going to show on the field.
For me, I've dabbled between both of these. And when I thought Bregman, obviously, yes, we expect him to have a big year offensively and defensively. But it's they brought him in at such a pivotal time for the organization where these three enormous prospects are coming up. And that leadership is going to be huge. So he's going to be so important to this team in so many different ways. That said, I'm going Crochet too. And it's ridiculous that three of us are going pitcher for the MVP, but that's how good of a year that I think Garrett Crochet is about to have here. And spoiler alert, he's my team Cy Young pick. He's my AL Cy Young pick. I think he's going to win the Cy Young pitching at Fenway Park as a left-hander, which is not easy. I think Garrett Crochet is going to be that good. We are in for a treat. So long as he can, make it through the season, stay healthy, pitch the innings that he hasn't done before, I think he's going to be great. Let's go to most home runs. I can't let you guys keep going first. I'm going to go first on this one. Most home runs and how many? I'm going Rafael Devers, and I'm going with 37. I think that overall, his production per game this year may not be as good. I'm not entirely sure that year one of the DH switch is going to be good for his numbers. On a game by game basis. So OPS, I don't know if we'll see it be what it was, but I think he'll play more. He'll stay on the field. He'll stay healthier. So for a cumulative stat like home runs, I think you could see it increase. So I'm going Devers with 37. We'll go Sammy. Where are you at with Devers or with home runs, most home runs?
Devers, I think we're going to get 40 home runs out of Devers to this year. I think it'll be the first. It is the first time he'll reach that 40 mark. I think DH will be great for him. He'll be healthy. And yeah, not much more to it. 40 dingers for Raffy.
Pat?
I'm fighting the temptation in every bone in my body to take Tristan. I just don't. I cannot bank on him being healthy. And for that reason, I will go Raffy. And I think he actually goes off at DH. I think he hits 41.
Ooh,
41.
Yeah. I think the full-time DH will allow him to focus on just that part of the craft. More importantly, it keeps him healthy. And we've seen Raffy, like when he figures something out the plate, just go on absolutely incredible runs. I suspect we'll see more of that now that he doesn't have to worry about butchering balls over third base. I think he finds it pretty, not immediately. Gordo, like you said, I expect some growing pains, but I think he goes nuts as a DH.
He could have a big summer, and especially like late summer. So we're all picking Devers for this, but yeah. It really is that August, September territory that we've seen. And oftentimes he's able to play through it and produce, which honestly makes you feel like what could he do if he's not playing through something at that stage of the season? Like we'll have to see.
How about the 2021 playoffs? That was insane.
He was crazy.
He was on fire. He looked like he was in so much pain every swing, but he was like, I'm Raffy. It's fine. But yeah, we got to pick Raffy. That's the play testing promise. We're not going to do a fake pick just to mix it up. We're giving you our honest takes.
Yep. So stolen bases. Last year, I picked Sedan for this, and it became evident by the end of the first week of the season that I was not going to get this one right. Pat, and it's no slight at Sedan. It's just that Jaron was running like crazy to start the season. He stopped towards the end. Just, you know, he's playing every day and his legs were catching up with him. But I mean, he still comfortably led the team in stolen bases. Pat, you'll go first. Is it going to be Jaron Duran again, or is it going to be someone else?
It sucks because I think it would be David Hamilton if he had any semblance of consistent playing time. The team's just too good. I don't see that happening. I think he's a very good bench piece that sees the field every couple of days. And because of that, I think it's going to be Jaron. I don't think.
What's your number?
Let's give numbers. Yeah.
Oh.
34 last year.
29.
Jaron, 29 for Pat. All right, Sammy, what do you got?
I'm going Duran, but I'm going to say 30. I think he gets that 30 mark again. I think that means something to guys to get those clean numbers, you know, get that into that echelon of a 30 base stealer. 29 and 30 probably feels like a big difference. So I'm going to say 30 on the dot. Slight regression from last year, but still very good.
I'm going to go with David Hamilton on this one. I struggled with it because it's exactly what Pat said. Is he going to play enough? But what we saw, and like granted, I get it's spring training, but you saw it in spring training. You saw it at times last year. When that guy gets on, he goes. So his role on this team, he's going to be the first off the bench anytime pretty much anyone goes down. Like, I'm sure they'll try him in the outfield at times this year as well. And he'll be pinch running late in games. And anytime he gets out there, he's going to be going. And he should be because he's one of the top 3, 4, 5 base stealers in the sport. So I'm going to go with David Hamilton. I bet he gets to 37. If he had consistent playing time, who the hell knows where that number could go? But I also, you know, injuries will inevitably occur. He'll get plenty of playing time. God, maybe he ends up starting, I don't know, 35-40% of the games just because of that alone. So I think it's going to be David Hamilton this year. I'll take you guys on that.
Well, Gordo, if Story gets hurt, and we all kind of thought he looked a little weird with his throwing, he's had upper and lower back problems. I think Hamilton slots right in. So could happen.
It depends on like how long term the injury is and when. Because if it's long term and it's in June, it's probably Meyer. If it's for 3 days and it's in April, it's obviously Hamilton. So
3 days in April.
Yeah,
sounds like a documentary. All right, carry on.
Biggest strength, and I want it to be a general thing. So it's your options are offense, defense, starting rotation, and bullpen. Sammy, you go first on this one.
Offense, easily. 1 through 9. I mean, you have at the top Duran, Devers, Bregman, Casas. That's awesome. Story, if he's healthy, huge. And then you're probably going to be mixing in the prospects at some point. Christian Campbell, if he goes off. Yeah, I'm liking this offense a lot.
All right, Pat, I'm going to go second here. I'm going to take the starting rotation. I know that to begin the season, it's like, okay, you got Dick Fitz starting. He only has a few career starts. You got Sean Newcomb starting. He hasn't been good in years, but obviously had a big spring. But you don't want to rely on those two guys. But, I mean, we're going to forget about this so fast because Giolito and Bayo are both due back by mid-April. Cutter Crawford's trying to make it back in April too. I think maybe it's more likely we see him in May. But they'll have a full rotation of dudes soon enough to the point where if Houck struggles, which, yeah, maybe we'll get into that at some point in this show. I mean, you have guys to replace him. You got Patrick Sandoval coming back late in the year. There's so much depth there. And then you obviously have the frontline upside of a guy like Crochet and guys who have pitched like frontline guys in the past have been frontline guys in Buehler and Giolito. I think that's their biggest strength. With the offense, I think long-term, that's going to be their biggest strength. But I do think you see some growing pains. Like, I love Christian Campbell. I think he's going to be a stud, but I think it's going to take him some time to get to that point. A guy like Story, I don't know how much offense we can count on out of him. So I think there are some guys that are going to put up big years offensively, but I think the starting rotation is going to be what carries this team. Pat, what do you got? Biggest strength?
For the first time, it feels like a decade. I'm saying defense.
Whoa!
I think with Raffy out of there, that infield defense is very, very good. You're talking about Story, who looked like a Gold Glover last year. Campbell, who looks to be above average. Casas is fine. Bregman is coming off of a Gold Glove. Willier coming off of a Gold Glove. Sedan, full-time in center field, should be in contention, if not win a Gold Glove. And Jaron Duran, who played a great above average center field last year, is now in left field, covering way less ground. Connor Wong is the one weak spot there. But I think the rotation is going to be so good that it will kind of negate that a little bit. Yeah, I love the defense. I think they're going to be very, very, very much improved this year. I love everything else. I think the bullpen is going to be, fine, good. Offense is going to be really good. Pitching, I love it. But the defense is so upgraded this year. It's nuts.
That's a good take. I agree, Pat. That's an interesting take. I'm glad you put stock in the defense because that obviously it's been so bad for so many years, especially in the infield.
I almost went there, Pat. Almost had that answer. I was dangerously close.
All right, let's go on the other end of that. Biggest concern, and I'll go first on this one since I kind of alluded to what I was going to say before earlier in the show. But my biggest concern right now is the back of the bullpen. Obviously, none of us were counting on Liam Hendricks being the Liam Hendricks of old, especially to open the season. And obviously the Red Sox don't trust him to be that right off the bat because he didn't win the closer job. And I think had he pitched like it, he would have been the guy to get it. It's going to be Chapman. But to me, I think the reason I'm saying back end of the bullpen and not closer is because I think Chapman will be fine as the closer. It's just that, and I know they say they're open to him pitching in the eighth, but when you have, and let's give the example because Texas is the series coming up. If Corey Seager is due up in the eighth inning, Chapman should have the eighth. But now all of a sudden you don't have consistent bullpen roles. You got to figure out who is still there for the ninth. Maybe you use Slayton in the seventh. And now is it Whitlock? Is it Hendricks? Is it Kelly? Like guys need to know their roles in the bullpen. And with Chapman closing, you open yourself up to you either have, you don't have the lefty, the strikeout lefty to go after guys in the earlier late innings, or you throw Chapman at those guys and you don't have a set closer for the ninth. So it's kind of a lose-lose there. I would have loved to see, and I would have loved to see them put Slayton in that slot. Maybe that will happen by the end of the year. Maybe they trade for someone by the end of the year. But for the time being, back of the bullpen remains my concern. I'm sure it'll shake out, but right now, don't quite know where that's at. Sammy?
Can I pick whatever I want for this, or do I have to pick like offense, defense, bullpen?
No, you can pick something. You can pick something specific.
Okay. My biggest concern is health. Now, it's baseball. It's a long season. Every team is, inherently injury prone, but I think the Red Sox are a little bit different. Costas missed a lot of time last year. Stories had his injury issues, well documented. Yoshida starting in AAA. Crochet, a Tommy John guy. Bueller coming off injury.
Whitlock.
The bullpen. Yeah, Whitlock in the bullpen. Hendricks is coming back from an injury. You can go on and on. So there's, again, every team has injury concerns, but I think the Red Sox would be the far end of the spectrum when it comes to a team at risk. I like that they have depth. That's a good thing, but you don't want to be turning to that depth too early or too often. So for me, it would just be the general health of this ball club.
Mine is going to be regression. I think guys had a lot of really good years last year. Tanner was an all-star, finished with, I believe, 3-1-2, a hair short of 180 innings, I think it was. Was just so good and fizzled out at the end. Had a really, 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 really rough spring. Didn't look sharp, wasn't striking guys out, wasn't getting a lot of swing and miss. He's one that I'm afraid might regress a little bit. Jaren regressing, I think, is very likely. Not saying Jaren's going to be bad, but I don't think he will be able to replicate what he did in 2024. I mean, you're talking about a guy who was All-Star Game MVP. He was swiping backs. He was hitting home runs. He was playing insane defense. He was running loose.
8.7 WAR player. That is a hard number to repeat.
Yeah, like I see him kind of coming back down to earth, like 5.5. Which is still very good. Which is still very good. But like 4.5 to 5.5, like that kind of window, like a top 40-ish player. I think last year, according to WAR, he was a top like 10. I see that coming back down to earth a little bit. And those are the two that kind of stick out. One that's honestly kind of slept on, and it might not matter as much this year. Connor Wong was really good at the plate last year. Like really good. Underrated, I would say. And those numbers, again, they weren't all that great, but coming from a catcher who's going to be playing a lot because of Carlos Narvaez isn't the most experienced backup catcher. Those might come back down to earth a little bit, but hopefully the additions can kind of combat the imminent regression, or so I hope. But that's my biggest thing, is guys kind of taking a step back when it looked like they were taking a step forward last year.
Yeah, I mean, the two guys you mentioned right there at the start, Houck and Duran, are going to be keys for how far this team's going to go. Because if Tanner Houck is the Tanner Houck that he was in the first half last year, the Red Sox have a chance to be a World Series team. And if he's what he has looked like in the spring, then he's going to be out of the rotation by May. So, like, it's obviously going to fall somewhere in the middle of those things. I am concerned about it, but he's not... he's not my biggest concern, just because I have faith that he's going to figure it out. He may not be what he was in the first half last year, but can he be, you know, a number two or three starter for this team? I think he can. And I think one of Bayo, Houck, Bueller, Giolito, guys who have all shown number two stuff or even better in the past, someone will step into that role. I don't know exactly who it's going to be, but someone will get there. Next question. Who will be closing games at the end of the season? Let's start with Pat on this one.
I flip-flopped on this so much.
Me too.
I'm going to go Slayton. I think Slayton has been good in the spring. He showed he belonged last year, most importantly. His stuff plays. I truly think it's going to shake out to be Slayton, and I think that actually happens earlier than later. I think by end of April, he settles into that role.
That's kind of it. You look like you may have had the same back and forth that I did, because I don't think Chapman is going to be bad, and I don't think he's good. Like, it's not going to be one of those things where it's like, this guy sucks and we have to get him out of the closer job. It's going to be, do they figure that they trust one of these right-handed relievers enough to be able to use Chapman in the role that they envisioned when they signed him? To me, I would make Slayton the closer. That's what I would do. But I think that they're able to hold on enough with the bullpen as is that I think Chapman makes it A to Z. I think he makes it to the end. And I think that, you know, him winning the job in the spring gave him first crack. And I don't think he's going to let go of the leash. I don't think he's going to let go of the grip. So I think Chapman makes it to the end of the year. Sammy?
It would be so scary to have to tell Chapman he's not the closer anymore. He's gigantic. I can't get over that. He's a scary guy. But he's not my answer. I think the Boston Red Sox closer at the end of the season will be current St. Louis Cardinal Ryan Helsley. I think that's going to be the big deadline upgrade. There's not many holes on this team. If you could point to one hole, I think it's pretty clear what it is, closer. And I think the Red Sox are going to say, look, we got to patch this. We think Slayton could be a great closer someday. We've seen Whitlock do it. But for now, let's go get Ryan Helsley. He'd be a pure rental, which would be great for this team. He would not cost too much. And that guy throws really fucking hard. One of the toughest guys to hit. I think he's fourth best stuff plus in major, something crazy like that. He's got crazy good stuff. So, I think Ryan Helsley, big blockbuster trade for the Sox.
Really quick too, Sammy, on the Helsley front, I like that, and especially because I think the Sox, along with the Yankees and probably the Rangers, are going to be so head and shoulders above the rest of the American League that they're going to be like not only buying but like frontline buying because the American League is so open. So I think Helsley by far will be the best closer available. I can see them absolutely pouncing on that, and I hope they do.
Helsley, I could too. That's such a closer last name, Helsley. I just love
Hell's
it.
Hell's bells,
brother.
Yeah, no, Sammy, I think the point that you made about what holes do the Red Sox truly have on this team, especially holes that... No, don't give me that look. No, I'm just going to move on, man. The prospects will they'll help, but they don't have a closer. Okay.
Yep.
Speaking of prospects, what months will Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony make their debuts? Sammy. And we assume that Christian Campbell will be making his debut in April because you made the team. Congratulations to Christian Campbell. Super nice dude. We love Christian Campbell. Sammy, Roman and Marcelo, when are they coming up?
I actually think Campbell makes his debut in March, not to be too crazy. But
oh, shit.
This guy. Dude, learn ball for one sport. I think July, late July, a little bit ahead of the deadline. I think they're going to come up around then. I think people are going to be disappointed. Yeah, both of them. I think they're both going to be up that mid to late July realm. You know, injuries could always happen. It could be sooner, or maybe one of them could get hurt. Who knows? This is definitely the toughest question, but I'm going to go, you know, July-ish, late July.
All right, Pat, what about you?
I think Roman comes up in May.
Ooh.
And I think Marcelo comes up about July. The reason I say that is we saw what Willier looked like down in spring training. He has lost some weight due to being sick. Didn't really hit in the spring. I think there's going to be a point where he's only offering so much and Roman is just lighting up AAA. And I think that's about May. I think they gave Willier a good, you know, month and a half or so. And then if he kind of fizzles out or isn't really producing or takes a step back, I don't think they'll hesitate to go with Roman because Roman has proven everything at every level. And I think there's a reason he's the number one prospect in baseball. You don't second think that. I think he comes up in May. I say Marcelo in June or July just because, you know, inevitable injury, whether it be Story or, you know, Campbell or what have you. Marcelo's such a tricky one because it's not like Roman. There's no clear spot for him right now, you know, especially if healthy. You have Story, you have Campbell, you have Bregman. Those are the three positions that Marcelo plays. So he'll likely come up if there's an injury or if Campbell moves to left field, some kind of, you know, shuffling there. So I think he's going to be a little bit later. Also hasn't taken a AAA bat. So I'm guessing around July-ish.
So I'm going to go quicker than both of you guys on these. I think Roman Anthony is going to come up before the end of April. And I think Marcelo is going to come up before the end of May. Marcelo was closer to making this team than some people realize. Like, he put on a fucking show this spring, and the team took notice. I mean, you can see it with how Alex Cora speaks about him. So the second that either Story goes down, or if Campbell gets hurt or doesn't perform, if Marcelo is raking in AAA, they're not going to hesitate to bring him up just because he's only played 30 games. Hell, how many games has Christian Campbell played in AAA and he's in the majors? So I agree with them not bringing Marcelo up to start just because I would like to see him get some AAA time. But I don't think they're going to hold him down if he's crushing it and other guys are struggling. They've been operating on the best 26 guys will play format. And if Roman and Marcelo are crushing it and, you know, maybe we'll go back, go to the Roman sector of this. If Sadon isn't performing, if Willier Abreu isn't performing, both legitimate possibilities, and Roman is hitting 340 in AAA, yeah, he's going to come up. It's going to happen. So maybe April is a little bit optimistic on that end, but you know, you got three outfield spots, and if one of those guys goes down for an IL stint, like, yeah, you'll probably see Roman Anthony come up. So that's three times as, well, I don't know, I guess middle infield. It's 33% more likely, or maybe it's 50% more likely than Marcelo that someone gets hurt. I don't know. But those guys will be up earlier than you think, in my opinion. And that kind of leads us into boldest prediction, which I'll go first for. My bold prediction is that one of Willier Abreu and Sadon Rafaela will be in AAA before the All-Star break.
Wow, that is a hot take.
That's a hot take. It's a hot take.
I thought you were going to say traded.
AAA? No, well, AAA, but I think AAA because I think you only trade those guys if the perfect trade is presented to you, and I don't think you're going to get to that perfect trade when guys like Roman and Marcelo are forcing the hand and forcing the need for the Red Sox to go to them for at-bats. So Willier could struggle in April. We saw him at spring training. He definitely looks thinner, and you know, he didn't get his first hit till the very end of the spring. And Sadon had a really good spring, but we saw his at-bats last season, and they, for the most part, the quality of at-bat was not very impressive. I admitted on Twitter I'm willing to see what he's got this year, but to me, I mean, Pat, you said it, Roman Anthony is the top prospect in baseball. If he's crushing AAA and Sadon is last in the league in chase rate, like, yeah, I mean, you're gonna play Roman Anthony. That's just the way it's going to be. The best players are going to play. So that's my hot take. I think Willier or Sadon goes down to AAA before the All-Star break. Obviously, they're major league quality guys, but you're going to want to get them every day at bats. You're not going to want to keep like Willier or Abreu on the bench. So yeah, I think we see one of those guys in AAA before the All-Star break this season. Sammy, what's your hot take?
All right, this one's a really hot take. I think by the end of the season, Carlos Narvaez is the starting catcher. I think defense reigns supreme, the catching spot. And if there's one thing Connor Wong is not good at, it's defense. He didn't even rank among the top 30 catchers defensively in 2024. Now, he could obviously make an improvement. That's yet to be seen. But right now, not a good defensive catcher. Narvaez, that's his bread and butter. If he hits just a little bit, I think he'll be the starting catcher when it's all said and done.
I was hoping someone was going to go red hot. My hot take is Trevor Story is traded away or DFA during the season in favor of Marcelo Meyer.
Whoa.
I think that Marcelo is so good and is playing so good and will play so good. They will have no choice but to bring him up. And unless they move Campbell off the position that he opened his big league career at, the only spot that makes sense is shortstop. And ideally, or I should say ideally, because I do like Trevor Story. If there's a way that to make that work, if it is Campbell going to left, you know, Story or Marcelo to second, I hope they do that. But yeah, that's my hot take. I think Marcelo finds his way up at some point this year, even if it means doing something with Trevor Story.
I like both of your guys' hot takes because they're both legitimate, educated takes, but they are hot. Like, it's not some random nonsense. Like, they're both like Pat. If I were talking likelihood, I don't think that Trevor Story is playing shortstop for the Red Sox in 2026.
Nope.
I think he's either going to be so good that he opts out. Or if he doesn't, the Red Sox will be able to trade him pretty easily. Or he's not good, and you either find a different role with him, or you DFA him, like you said.
I think Story opting out is a hotter take than all of those. I think that's the hottest take.
I think he's necessarily going to opt out, but I think that there's an area where he's so good that he opts out, and there's an area where he's so bad that you obviously play Meyer, and the space in between those where he's good enough to play over Meyer, but not so good that he opts out is actually such a real, it's a small percentage of space there. Like,
see, I think he could have a career year. I think he could hit 30 home runs and steal 30 bases and he still wouldn't opt out. I just don't see any world where I don't think so. He hasn't played a full season since like 2019. Like,
how many guys went 30-30 last year?
No, but that's not the point. He's just so unreliable. I don't think any team is going to give him more than what he would have with the Red Sox.
He'd get more than 2 years, 50 mil. If he went, even if he went 2020, he'd get more than 2 years, 50 mil. He would.
It's a tough sell. He'd have to be
play good defense and go 2020. You're getting more than 2 years, 50 mil.
Story though, I don't know. It's not going to happen though. I don't think we'll ever be in this scenario where we're discussing, is he going to do it? I think it's going
to
be pretty clear.
I think it's probably more likely that he's bad enough to just give Meyer the job and you figure out what you do.
Yeah.
Joe, did you want to give a hot take? I saw you jump in here.
Yeah, I mean, my take isn't as insane or whatever, but it kind of goes against what Sammy's been saying for a while. I think Jaren Duran wins a Gold Glove. I think he's in left field for now. He is most likely going to center whenever Roman gets called up. And I think at least for this year, like, he did enough last year where you could feel confident moving him into center. So it's not as scorching hot as any of you three, but I think Durant gets Gold Glove consideration.
I think Duran's a good defender. My only take on him is that when he starts to age and his speed goes away, he's going to drop off quicker than most guys because the routes are statistically not good. But I think he's a good defender. I think he could win a Gold Glove in left.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Also, I looked it up. Only three players last year went 30-30. It was Ohtani, Jose Ramirez, Bobby Witt. That was it.
Damn. Oh, Sam is frozen.
Yeah, I thought he was just staring into my soul. Now you're back. You're back, Sammy. You're good. You're
sorry,
good.
I lost you guys for a second. I'm back.
He's back. All right. Next one is, how many All-Stars will the Red Sox have this year? Sammy, you want to go first?
Yeah, you want me to name who I think they're going to be?
Yep.
Okay, I think there's going to be three of them. I think it's going to be Crochet. If you guys can't tell yet, I think Crochet is going to be good. I think Bregman is going to be the other one. And then I think there's going to be like a wild card one. I think it'll be either be... Actually, I'll go Devers because he's DH now. I think he'll get the DH nod. So it's going to be those three. And I think Casas is going to get snubbed because Vlad's going to win it. And then the managers vote, right? I'm not a big All-Star game guy, TBH. But the managers vote on...
The manager picks the pitchers, and the players and coaches, I believe, vote for the reserves.
I feel like they're going to be all boomer about Casas and be like, nah, I don't like him. And he's not going to get the nod for some weird reason. So I'm going to say Crochet, Bregman, Devers, and those will be the three.
Pat, what about you?
I think they have four. I'm going to go Crochet, Bregman, Devers, Walker Buehler.
Oh, not Duran. I thought you were going Duran.
Nope. I'm going Walker Buehler. I am sensing a bounce back. I think he's going to have a really strong year, and I think it's going to be strong enough to put him in the All-Star game.
All right. I'm going to one-up both of you guys. I think there's going to be five All-Stars this year. I think the Red Sox are going to be maybe leading the division at the All-Star break. And I think that we're going to get five All-Stars. Here we go. I'll go Crochet. I'll go Devers. I'll go Bregman. I'll go Casas. And I'll go Duran. I think Duran could have even... I mean, obviously, last year he needed to go nuts to get the All-Star selection just because he kind of... I don't want to say came out of nowhere. In national eyes, maybe he came out of nowhere. We saw him perform the year before last. But this year, he's coming off such a great season, and he's kind of stepped into like a star role in baseball where he can have a little bit of a... He can take a step back, and they'll still make him an All-Star. Like, he's good enough to do that, especially, you know, considering he's got really good defense and great base running. Like, he can take a couple of steps back offensively and still make the All-Star team in my eyes. So I think five. All right. What is it? Are we on the last one? Yeah. Okay. We got two more. Breakout stud for the Red Sox. So last year I would say the true breakout stud, I think, would you could have given it to Jaren Duran or Tanner Houck. I think either one of those would have been fine. Obviously, neither of those guys applies this year. You can't take them. They've already broken out. Pat, who is your breakout stud for the Sox this year?
Justin Slayton.
Ooh.
I think Slayton slides into the close role pretty early on, and I don't think he loses that job. Stuff plays. He's got the mentality. He's just like a silent assassin. Mm-hmm. I think he finds himself there, you know, late April, early May. Just finds that niche and just takes off running. I think he's going to be so good as a closer. I'm going with Justin Slayton.
Sammy, who's yours?
I'm going to go with Sedan Rafaela. Ooh. I think that if he's playing every day, I think he could be a 20 home run, 20 stolen base guy. He needs to improve the strikeouts and the plate discipline. That's no secret. If he can make a slight improvement in that and the defense stays top tier. I mean, we haven't even seen him as an everyday center fielder yet. He was shifting all over the place last year. So I think if he's every day in center field, 140 to 162 games, like that big, big everyday player range, I think he's going to be extremely valuable when it's all said and done. So that's my pick, Sedan.
There were so many guys that I was thinking of for this. It's like, do I go with one of the prospects? Rafael has been really good this spring. Do I go with like a Brian Baio? You could make the argument that if he takes that step forward into number two status, that could be the breakout stud type guy. I don't know. There was a lot of options here. Christian Campbell breaking with the team. But what I said before, I think Marcelo Meyer gets the call pretty early. He is my pick to click for the breakout stud of 2025. It goes so far beyond what he's done this spring. I mean, he's always had the smoothest swing probably in the organization basically since he was drafted, let's be real here. But he's shown that he is ready for this. He's going to start in AAA. He's going to be mature about it. They're going to call him up when the time is right, when he's needed, and he's going to be ready to go. He would be ready to go if they wanted him opening day. That's how confident I am in this kid. I've just been so impressed with what I've seen from him on the field, off the field. I love everything about the prospect. I'm so glad they were able to get a guy like Crochet without giving him up. Just, that could have bit you. I think he's going to be that good. I'm really excited. Marcelo Meyer, my pick to click this year. And last but not least, we have been withholding our Red Sox win projections for the entire spring training. We've known what this roster is going to be for a while. The win total predictions and where they're going to finish in the AL East. Though if you've been watching our AL East outlook, and granted some things have changed, you know, McClanahan went down. We did the Yankees one after Cole went down, but like things have changed. So obviously win projections can change. But Sammy, I'm going to start with you. How many wins are the Red Sox going to have, and where are they going to finish in the AL East?
So I have the Boston Red Sox winning 89 games and narrowly winning the American League East. And I would go higher if not for all these pitching injuries to start off the season. I think that's going to hurt their win total a little bit. And I think the bullpen might hurt the win total a little bit. I think, and this is a weird concept to wrap your head around, I think they'll be an 89-win team, but at the end of the year, they'll be better than an 89-win team because they'll be healthier, hopefully, and then... You know, Ryan Helsley will be added, as I said. So they're going to be a very, very strong team. Super excited. We haven't been this high about the Red Sox in a long time. So that's it. AL East champs, 89 wins, Boston Red Sox.
Pat?
Going 92. I think they win 92 games. And I think that speaks more. Obviously, they're great. They're a really good team. But they're playing a predominantly weak AL schedule. I think they really can capitalize on that. I'm going 92 wins. I think they win the division. I think they're the most complete roster in the AL East after injuries. A month ago, I would have said Yankees. With the rotation, with Cole Heel going down, they have more questions than answers there. They're banking a lot on some older guys in the lineup. The bullpen's great. But I think the Sox have more than enough talent offensively on the active roster and in the minor leagues. Enough rotation depth and a good enough bullpen to win 92 games and the division.
I'm basically giving the same answers, Pat. My win total is 91, but I think that's enough to win them the division. So all three of us here are going to take the Sox winning the division. I think it's the most complete team. I think they have the most margin for error because of the depth they have. I think there's no other team in the American League East that has the amount of upside that the Red Sox have while also having the amount of depth to cover for that upside if it doesn't go well. Like, you've got a team like the Yankees that has a ton of upside. They certainly don't have the depth the Red Sox do. The Blue Jays, if things go right, they have a lot of upside, but they have less than no depth. Orioles, nothing can go wrong on that team from a pitching standpoint. Things can go wrong offensively. They've got stuff there. And then the Rays, they're loaded with depth, but you know they don't have a ton of upside, especially with McClanahan now on the IL to start the season. So I'm going to say the Red Sox, 91 games, winning the division. My standings, and we can grab your guys' standings here too, if you can just remember your win totals. But my standings, I go Red Sox, Orioles, Blue Jays, Rays, Yankees in last.
Wow. Wow. I think, well, it's tough because I had the Rays as my big sleeper team. Yeah, and then they lost McClanahan. So let me think a bit. Someone else go. Let me ponder.
Pat, go first. Pat, go first.
So based on mine, I had Red Sox, Orioles, Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays.
Joe,
I have it.
Joe, what's your win total prediction?
So just overall standpoint, I think they get 93 wins. I think they win the division. I think it's narrow because on the graphic, I had the Yankees winning 90 just because I think they'll be competitive some way, somehow, and I expect them to get 90 wins in that one. So I think it's Sox, Yankees, then I'll go Orioles, then I'll go trying to remember how I had it. Then I think it's Rays and Blue Jays.
Sammy, you got yours?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to go Red Sox 1, Orioles 2. I'll go, Blue Jays, Yankees, and then I think Rays drop to like last. I mean, all these teams are going to be, they're going to be separated by not a lot of games. It's there could be a winning team in last place in this division. I just think you lose a guy like McClanahan, like he's crochet level good, arguably better if he's healthy. He's an absolute monster. That's just a dagger to the Rays. And now that hurts their depth. And, you know, if anyone else went down, I would comfortably put them in second. But I think, I mean, that's gigantic. So I think that drops them significantly in terms of the standings. In terms of win losses, it's not going to be much. This division is going to be super tight. But when it's tight like that, you're going to lose a lot of ground in the division. So sorry, Tampa, jumping off the ship.
I know we're a Red Sox podcast. And we take it from a fan perspective. So like obviously we want the team to win. We love the team. We're realistic. If the team looked like shit, we would say they look like shit. They've looked like shit in the past and we've said they look like shit. We're not just all here picking the team to win the division because we want them to win the division, whatnot. Like we're picking them to win the division. Like all four of us just said that we think the Red Sox are going to win the division. All between 89 and 93 games, I believe it was. So
I think Joe went up to the... No. And also, listen to our preview from last year. We were very close with our win totals. I think I had 82, and they were in... I think the highest was like 84 or something, so...
I think I was the most optimistic last year, and I had, I think, 83.
I took 79. Last year, I took 79 wins. So, like... We're not just a bunch of fucking homers out here. Like, this team looks good. We just came from spring training. They look like a team that's ready to win. All right? And that's what's going to happen this year. God, enjoy your opening day. Let the Red Sox win on opening day like they did last year. No Tyler O'Neill to hit a home run on opening day this year. But let Garrett Crochet strike out double digits. Let the Red Sox torch Nathan Eovaldi. We love Nathan Eovaldi, but let him get torched for 7 and 4 1/3 innings, something like that. Let the Sox take opening day, set the stage, and take it from there for a great season ahead. 2025 Red Sox, we are hoping for big things. We're expecting big things. We're going to be in your ears all season long. We've got a ton of content coming your way, both in terms of reactions to games, reactions to storylines. We've got interviews banked out the wazoo. Like, we're ready to go for you guys this year. So I'm really excited, not just for what the Red Sox are going to do this year, but for what the Play Tessie podcast is going to do this year. Big things ahead, growing together. It's going to be awesome. But that's going to do it for episode 191. Do I have that right? 191? 191 yep. of Play Tessie. Man, the next time we record a podcast, season will have started. We'll be in full swing. But till then, remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you can get those notifications when episodes drop. Spotify, Apple, Odyssey app, wherever. Find us on YouTube. We're on the WEI channel. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there. Subscribe to WEI. Hit the thumbs up on all of the Play Tessie videos. And find us on the socials, at Play Tessie, on Twitter, Instagram, and now TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for the final episode of the off season. The regular season's upon us. It's going to be freaking awesome. Let's go. Thanks for tuning into this one. We'll see you next time. Peace.